What is up, y'all? Welcome into another episode of Uncovering Success. My name is Brady Slaybaugh. So today I decided to do things a little differently. I had a chance to sit down with one of my best friends and have more of a conversation about the things that we've been able to experience and learn in life. So you're going to get to hear a little more from me today than usual, but I really feel like it will be helpful in gaining a new flow of ideas and thoughts in your life. My guest today is one of my best friends, Nick Rubel. We had a chance to be student managers together for the Ohio State women's basketball team. We got to be a part of a Big Ten championship together and learn from some of the best players and coaches to ever come through Ohio State. Nick went on to be an assistant at North Alabama, a Division I school in Alabama for the last few years, and recently moved back to Columbus and got into the real estate game here. I'm so excited for this episode, and I think you'll enjoy it as well. Let's get into it.
You don't set out to build a wall. You don't say, I'm going to build the biggest, baddest, greatest wall that's ever been built. You don't start there. You say, I'm going to lay this brick. Yeah. As perfectly as a brick can be laid. There will not be one brick on the face of the earth that's going to be laid better than this brick that I'm going to lay in this next 10 minutes. Yeah. And you do that every single day.
And soon you have a wall.
And soon you have a wall.
All right, y'all. So as we know, I'm going to be doing things a little bit differently today. I'm going to be looking to pose a question, and then we'll both answer. So today, you'll get to hear from me a little bit more than usual. I don't know if that's good or bad yet, but we'll see as we go. And I really wanted to do this because I think it's important to hear from successful people and how they got to where they are. But I also think it's important to hear from people that are where we are at right now. And not be too worried about getting ahead of ourselves and feeling like we're behind. So I've got today one of my good friends, one of my best friends, Nick Rubel here. We've been together for a while now, so really looking to dive in today. And he's had a lot of cool experiences that I have not. So I'm looking forward to hearing from that. And welcome, Nick.
Hello, world. Pumped to be here. Let's do this.
All right. So first of all, one of the things that I am very passionate about is leadership. And that's one of the things I enjoy seeing in other people and then trying to use in my own life as well. So let's talk a little bit about qualities of a good leader and what we have experienced over time. Because I feel like one of the hardest things and one of the best things about a leader is they are very good at explaining their vision and getting their vision across to their teams and then putting them in the right roles so that it's clearly stated, knowing where they're at, and then from there, everyone can kind of buy in around that vision.
That's right. Yeah. I think, too, everyone, no matter what you do, who you're with, you want to feel important. Mm-hmm. And elite leaders make you feel valued. So whether you are the number one player on a team or the 13th player on the team, whether you are the vice president below your boss or you're the intern, if you feel valued and you feel like that person cares about you and cares about what you're doing, you're going to come every day and you're going to give your all. So when I think of, and we've been around so many good coaches who are elite recruiters, and that's a skill they all have,
yeah,
is they make you feel important from day one.
And even, so I mean, obviously those that don't know, Nick was a manager with me at Ohio State and then went on to coach D1 for a little bit. And I feel, too, one of the biggest things is they can build a relationship outside of work or off the court with not only their players, but also the support staff and the people that are around the team every day. And then when you come to the gym or when you come to work every day, you want to work hard for those leaders and those coaches.
True.
And I feel like, too, another thing that leaders are really good at recognizing is their weaknesses. And they know what they're good at and what they're not good at. And then they bring people in on those weaknesses that can fill their gaps and be there for them. And leaders, too, are really good at saying, when we win, that's on the team. And then when we lose, it's my fault. No matter what happened, no matter if a kid, best player, had the worst game she's ever played, maybe someone in the lawyer's office didn't read the right stuff, didn't do their research, but no, that falls back on me. And the buck stops here with all that stuff.
Yeah. I think another thing, too, is whatever industry, elite leaders, the skills they have are transferable and translatable to anything you do. So if you're around an elite coach, you think about Urban Meyer, you think about this guy could be running a company. from day one. Or you think about someone who's running a company, developing a team of hundreds of people. You're like, this guy could be a coach. They go hand in hand. Coach, teacher, educator. Those things go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's important about teachers too. No matter what team you're leading, what group of people you're leading, even whether it's a family, the best parents that get their kids to succeed in the best possible ways are very good at explaining their vision for their family and where they want them to go and who they feel like they are, but also being supportive in that, in whatever route they end up wanting to go. It's important to be there for them no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then kind of too, to go off of leadership here, and this kind of goes hand in hand, but I also want to talk about great people that we've come across. And I feel like you don't have to be a leader to be a great person. And the great people, just like leaders are really good at bringing people on board, getting them to buy in and building relationships. I feel like you can also be a great person without being a leader. And that kind of goes hand in hand there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And I think too, what happens with great people is you see the people around them, and the people around them are loyal to them. That they stay true to their circle. And no matter what, I mean, you see even with LeBron and his group that he's brought, you know, LeBron's become the best player in the world, but he's also helped his friends and his circle become the best agent in the world, become the best people and the best businessmen in the world, because they're so loyal to their people, and their people are never going to say anything bad about them. They're always going to fight for them no matter what's going on.
Yeah. And that there's your vision point too. Is you trying to tell me those guys didn't have a vision growing up? That it was just LeBron and they were going to ride his coattail? No shot.
Yeah.
Rich Paul had a vision. Maverick Carter had a vision.
Yeah, and I mean, you think most people that are in LeBron's friend's shoes are going to, like you said, ride his coattails mm-hmm. to the end. We're going to live in a nice house in L.A. mm-hmm. and just sip on our bourbon or wine like yep. LeBron likes to do.
Yep.
But that's not what it is, and that's not who it is. What about for you? Who's maybe the best leader or a best person, the first one that comes to your mind? I know you had a great coach at North Alabama. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But for you, who are kind of a couple people that come to your mind, and then what are some good traits or character traits that they have?
Yeah, I'll go right back right to my boss at North Alabama because he's the most recent one I had. And he, like I said, he's really good at his job. He's the same guy if he's in the office, if he's in the game, minus when he's ripping a referee. He's the same guy when he's around his family. He's the same guy when he's around his friends. Mm-hmm. So if you have to get to a certain point to do your job and you're not that person at home, you're probably not going to be very good at your job. So that goes into, if you're a good person, if you have elite skills in your vision, communication, loyalty, caring, planning, that all comes full circle. So if you're a guy where you go home to your family and you sit by yourself and you watch TV or you do whatever, and then you go to your job or your practice and you're a rah-rah guy, that's not who you are. And eventually that's mm-hmm. going to catch up to you. So he was good because he was who he was. He knew who he was, and he was really good at who he was.
And it gets harder to come into work the next day and turn that rah-rah guy on
yeah.
every time.
Yeah.
And you can't. Over the long period of time, you can't continue to do that. And then you see when you actually come into work then and are yourself and aren't that rah-rah guy, everyone thinks something's wrong with you
mm-hmm.
just because you didn't have the energy to be who you weren't that day. And so that's why for me, I feel like it's important to know who you are. That way you can successfully lead other people. And just recently, I've started to believe too that you have to know who you are so that you can successfully lead yourself.
Yep.
And know that when you wake up in the morning, what's the first hour of my day look like? What habits am I going through? And how is that going to make me successful throughout the rest of the day? What do I need to get done? Who do I need to talk to today? Who do I need to reach out to? What different places do I need to put myself in so I can be successful in my life, but also in leading others and working with others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people can maybe fake it till you make it. And sometimes that's a good thing, but in the situation where you have to fake who you're being every day, six out of the 7 days a week, all it takes is that seventh day for people to go, oh, okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to talk about coaches, and you can have a high school kid, grade school kid, college kids, I've seen it. It doesn't matter. They're smart, and they can pick up on that. They may lag in the technical skills, X's mm-hmm. and O's, maybe in classroom, but when it comes to the way people are acting, They can tell. They can tell.
What do you think, too? So we've got the book Atomic Habits sitting here beside us. What do you feel like are some habits that great people and great leaders have that you've seen over the course of your time, whether it's getting up in the morning and going through the morning habits? First of all, I'm kind of interested what your morning habits are, but then also what habits have you seen in other people?
Well, they definitely have a plan, too. So they don't wake up and think, okay, I just woke up. Let me go get something to eat. What else do I got to do? No, they hit the ground running to the point where their mind's always racing, and they have a plan. So I can guarantee you the first hour, 2 hours of any successful person, any industry, it doesn't matter, doctor, entrepreneur, coach, they have a plan that first hour. And I try to develop my habits based on some people that I admire or who inspire me. So for instance, a lot of times the consensus is wake up, chug some water, get a workout in, get your body moving, get some physical activity in, and then get your mental workout in too. Some people that's yoga, some people that's meditation, some people that's reading, some people that's praying, some people that's watching some motivational YouTube to get that. You got your physical activity, now you got to get your brain moving, and then you go on to your day.
I like how too you kind of went through a bunch of stuff there, because you see all the gurus online and whatnot talking about, hey, you got to get up every day, you got to meditate for half an hour, and then you got to do some yoga, and then you got to read 20 minutes, and you got to get into the Bible, then you got to go on a gratitude walk. But I feel like for everyone, it's different, and you got to recognize what that is to get you started on the right path to start the day. And I know for me too, like I'm the same way. I like to get up. The first thing I do before even I put my contacts in is I go drink a glass of water. And then from there, your body starts to hydrate and you start feeling good. And then I enjoy, I'm a very tight person. I got tight hamstrings, tight lower back.
Can't confirm.
So I got to stretch every morning. And when I don't stretch for a day or two, I can feel it because that's what I start to think about throughout the day instead of how can I make myself better or the people around me better. So I like to start there too. I enjoy reading the Bible or getting into a good book for 20 minutes. And I feel like that just kind of gets your mind going and start about thinking ideas throughout the day. No matter where you're at, whether you're a faith person or not, for me, the Bible is something that I like to try to get into every day because when I don't, I can tell.
Yeah.
And when I am a part of that and in that realm, things just kind of start to fall in place no matter where you're at.
Yeah. And we can kind of get into this a little bit, but it's really important to whatever field you're in, it's important to find people that you want to model yourself after or people who inspire you. And that's great. But it's also really important to keep branching out and trying new things, talking to new people, listening to new ideas. Because like you said, If you wake up in the morning and your idol meditates for half an hour and you try it and you fall asleep, that's not for you and it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's like a diet. Yeah. There's multiple ways to lose weight. You don't have to eat one specific thing. You have to figure out what's right for your body. It's the same thing with your mental. If your idol wakes up and runs 2 miles and you can't because you get shin splints, then you have to get on the bicycle and you have to do some resistance training or whatever. But that's such a big part of it is finding what works for you, and it's not the same for everybody.
And two, one of the things that, I mean, has helped me, and I'm nowhere near, obviously, where I need to be, but one of the things that's helped me is writing that stuff down, writing down the five most things I'm passionate about, and then expanding into each one of those 5 points off of that I can realize and recognize throughout the day of this is where I want to go, and what do I need to do to get there? What people do I need to have in my life and what people don't I? And sometimes that's a hard conversation to have with yourself. But then also throughout the week, who do I need to be talking to? Who is it okay for me to reach out to and who isn't it okay?
Yeah.
And is it okay for me to go out with friends late night every Friday, Saturday night? Or maybe sometimes I just need to stay in and write down a bunch of ideas and keep that mindset going. But I also feel like, too, it's important to create habits and build habits that are the same every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about, I'm interested in this, and one thing I've never really done, so I've moved to Columbus 2 hours away from home, and I've kind of got away from home, but for you, your home was Columbus, and after Ohio State, after we were managers there, you moved to Alabama for 2 years.
Yep.
And for most people, I mean, Alabama, you're in the middle of nowhere, you're 6 hours from the beach, so it's not like it's a really cool place to be. You went down there at North Alabama, which is a D1 basketball school, and coached there for a while. So what kind of things did you go through for 2 years there that you learned about you, but you also learned about life?
Yeah, great question. And now I swear by this. And it's funny because, like Brady said, I was born and raised here in Columbus, Ohio. I went to Ohio State, which is 20 minutes from my parents' house. And when I got into coaching, I was so excited because people would say, where are you going after college? And I had no idea, because the way coaching works is you get a job and you got to be there a week later. I applied for jobs in the Pacific Northwest. I applied for jobs in Maine. I applied for jobs in Alabama, everywhere. I was ready to go. Mm-hmm. So I finally get this job, and me, my dad, and my sister pack up a U-Haul, and we start driving to Florence, Alabama. I don't know where I'm sleeping that night. We're going to figure out on the fly, which is the fun of it.
Yeah.
To be able to get up and go. And that's something I was really proud of myself for doing, because I've always been close to home. I was a little scared to go outside my comfort zone. But we packed up, and that's another thing, having family along, family and friends, makes it all worthwhile. We packed up U-Haul. We found a place to live.
That's crazy, because most people are too afraid to go through that.
Yeah.
You know, they get a job offer from North Alabama. Well, I don't know what that city's like. I don't know what the people are like there. I don't know how I'm going to be living 8 hours away from home. And so one thing, I mean, that's something that I'm proud of you for that a lot of people don't do.
Yeah. And we won't get into the pay, but it was by no means a no-brainer, which some people would maybe hear a certain salary number and have a no-brainer, which was another thing too, is I got up and went for the passion of it, exactly what I wanted to do. It was nothing to do with pay, benefits, or anything. And I mean, when you're that far away from home, you start to see what you're made of. You start to understand what your parents were always talking about. Mm-hmm. When they were trying to make you into the right person or the person they wanted you to be.
Because you lived alone too. I came down there once and you lived alone.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you weren't at the gym and getting your stuff done there, I mean, what was that like? Maybe like the first week or two, did that kind of hit you in the face?
The first week or two, I slept good after crying myself to sleep. true story, I swear. But being by yourself, and this is one area where I've always been okay, is because I was always okay with being in a room by myself. And sometimes people, they're in a room by themselves and their head starts to spin and their thoughts start to go X, Y, and Z. So for me, when I went home every night, I knew I really, really, really badly wanted to just call home, call friends at home, FaceTime friends at home, ask them what they're doing for the Buckeye game. But I kind of also had to push back against that and get out of my comfort zone and say, I gotta go. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I got to go to meet some people. Mm-hmm. That's part of the experience. I got to see what these people are talking about, what they've been through. Like, what's this whole thing about? So being comfortable with being by yourself is so huge, especially in the world of social media, especially in the world of anything at your fingertips on Netflix. Like, to be able to just be quiet and be by yourself is a skill that I wish everyone could develop and people need to work on every day.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I kind of wanted to jump into too. How do you feel we can use social media for good? Because I feel like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of negative that comes with social media, and it's hard to see in the time because you sit there and scroll through TikTok or Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is, for an hour, 2 hours laying in bed at night. All of a sudden it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I got to get up at 8. Mm-hmm. And then obviously that next day I'm not going to be able to be my best self. But how do you feel that we can use social media for good? Because for me, I feel like some of the big things are staying connected to relationships, whether it's, you know, sending someone a funny video online. And I think even the little stuff like that can help you stay connected to people, because then when you see them in person, you've got something to talk about. Hey, did you see how bad the Buckeyes beat Michigan State this week? So I think it's really good at, if you use it right, staying connected with relationships that you've built. I also think it's helped a lot of people grow up business that and a route that hasn't been there before. So it's opened up new avenues, new ways to go down, new ways to advertise, new ways to build up a following. And along with that comes meeting new people, comes getting new ideas and hearing about new experiences. So for me, that's been the most enjoyable part of social media and the journey that I'm kind of on right now. And I feel like it's really easy then to, once you do that, to keep scrolling and then keep scrolling and seeing the next funny video and the next funny video, no matter where it's at.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things, like everything, and you have to take it in moderation. It's the same thing as sleep. You can't sleep all day. You have to do it in moderation, 8 to 10 hours, whatever it might be. You can't eat all day. You have to eat in moderation, whatever that might be. you can't drink all day. You have to drink in moderation. Social media is the same thing. It's, you have to do it in moderation. I found my job posting on North Alabama via Twitter. So if I wasn't on Twitter that day, I might not have seen that job. I may not have ever worked in Division I basketball. Changed my life. Think about today. Me and you, we share, me and Brady will go back and forth sending TikTok videos. Some of them will be stupid. Some of them will be funny. Some of them will be a dance video. Today we shared a video of Simon Sinek talking about relationships, marriage. And it's one of those things where if it wasn't for social media, I may never have seen that. That's a whole, that's a really smart guy's perspective that I just saw because of social media.
Mm-hmm. Well, and too, like Simon Sinek wrote one of my favorite books of all time. And that's all I might know about Simon Sinek. But because I get to follow him on social media and follow him on TikTok, I get to hear more from his brain than what might just be in a book. So I feel like there is a lot of good that can be used for social media. And like you said, in moderation.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm big on too is I believe in failure. And I believe that when we fail, all that means is that we're that much closer to our success. And along with that comes new experiences we had, new learning abilities we find, new stuff that we learn how to grow a business or go through all that. What is something for you that you feel like, whether it's small or big, that you've failed at in life and can be open about with? Because I feel like that's another part of it. But what is something that you can be humble enough to say, I failed at this?
And failure is a funny word, and I wish I knew off the top of my head, but Kobe Bryant has an unbelievable video where someone asked him, what's something you failed at, or what does failure mean to you? And he was like, I don't know what failure is. Like that's not really a word in my vocabulary. So I guess for me, failure can just be simply something not going your way. Mm-hmm. If a test didn't go your way, yeah, I failed it. Cool. For me, something that didn't go my way, and this was my choice though, was not staying in basketball. And when I got out, my mom would make sure I was doing what I wanted because she said, you've invested so much time, so much money into this. Are you sure it's not what you want to do? And I would say, no, that's not what I want to do. But here's the great part about it is even though I decided to switch industries, like we talked about, you can always pull positives from it. Experiences, skills you've developed, the way you handle negative events, all that can be taken into whatever you do next. So it's only failure if you let it, I guess.
And even too, like you dealt with a lot of college basketball players who thought they were everything. They thought, and what they've always had in their life was people bowing down at their feet, telling them how good they are. So for you, coming out of that experience, you learned how to deal with people, how to be there for them when they need it, but also how to give them a little kick in the butt when they need it too.
Yeah.
And for me, one of the things I talk about is my Airbnb business I did. And I don't know necessarily if it was a failure because, I mean, I didn't lose a bunch of money and we kind of had an out going into it. But one of the things I did learn was how to work with people. And the reason I liked the Airbnb business so much was because I felt like I'd get to meet a whole bunch of new people. I'd get to meet a bunch of new people in Columbus trying to set this up. But also everyone that comes and stays at your place, you know, you're leaving them messages, you're communicating with them. And so for me, I learned on a bigger scale outside of sports how to work with people and how to be there for people. I also learned how to read the fine print. You know, when you start a business, you got to pay taxes. You got to pay all the utilities. And over time, all those little things start to add up. But when you're really good at the fine print and doing what other people aren't willing to do, that's when in the end it's going to pay off. And I also realized too, it's very important to pick a right business partner. I got lucky. I mean, one of my best friends, Joey Miller, he's a great guy, and we were obviously did well together, but I realized how bad it could be if you didn't have the right person. And if you didn't have someone that had the same vision as you or didn't want to work as hard as you or even didn't need it as bad as you, didn't need the money, didn't need to meet new people. So for me, the business partner that you choose in life, if you do choose a partner, or the people that you put around you are the most important part of the business.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think too, if you, like I said, failure can be failure or things not going your way. And a lot of people struggle with learning how to deal with things not going their way. So again, that's a skill. How do you deal with failure? How do you deal with things when they don't go your way? And if you look inward, you can realize it when something's small. how do you deal with when you're on an airplane and it's a delay? Do you get up and bicker? No, there's probably a reason the airplane's on a delay. You probably want them to fix what they're working on.
Yeah.
If your Netflix isn't working, how do you deal with that? Do you get mad and throw your remote at the TV? Like, one of those things, control what you can't control. And if you, I mean, and this is why meditation is so much fun to learn how to calm yourself down via breathing. What do you do when you get riled up? How do you calm yourself down to get you back to the level state? So if you can become really, really good at that, you're going to be probably really good at dealing with failure.
Because even in when it comes time outside of meditation where you're in a stressful situation, being able to calm yourself down and think through things clearly is a skill that a lot of people don't have. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what, their shoulders get tight, everything gets tight, and they fall back to what's comfortable. But when you can take that deep breath and learn how to calm yourself down and think through things clearly, a lot of good always comes out of that.
Yeah.
And two, I feel like, so you're a big reader. I know that you like books. What to you has been a book that has been very impactful on your life or that you've learned a lot from? Maybe you learned a few new habits to take away or a new idea. What for you is kind of a book or two that stands out to you?
Well, let me preface this by saying I was definitely, and it's not cliche, but you hear it all the time. When I was middle school, high school, you would never catch me with a book. Same. Ever. But I will tell you what got me started, and I had to have been the last guy in the world at my age to do this, was starting with reading the newspaper. Mm-hmm. So I would read the sports page, and then that moved into the sports and business page. And a lot of times people get a negative connotation of reading because they're reading 1400s literature in school. So they're like, no, reading's lame. I don't want to read. But then you start reading the sports page, and you start reading sports books. Then you start reading the business page, you start reading business books. You start finding the avenues of stuff that are really interest you, and you realize like, oh, okay, this is pretty good. I read a book. This is someone's life's work that they're putting into a piece of paper for me that I can pull from now. So, and I know Matt was on a couple months ago at this point, and he brought up A Ride of a Lifetime by Robert Iger, the CEO of Disney. And I'm not stealing this from him. I promise you, this is one of my favorite books, and this is one of the books I've gifted the most. And you want to talk about the quote unquote American dream. That would be this guy to start at the bottom of one of the biggest companies in the world and then be running it one day. Mm-hmm. And this is a great book because he takes you step by step. You feel like you're in the boardroom with these transactions and all this stuff. And it's so well written. And like I said, it can apply to everybody because he's been everybody in every level, if that makes sense.
And I feel like just like he had to go through too, even just being humble enough to pick up a book and say, hey, I want to learn. I need to learn. There's stuff out there that I don't know about or ideas I haven't explored. I feel like that's a big part of it because even for me in high school, I thought I was on top of the world. I don't need to read. Like, why do I need to read? I'm already here. I'm already where I'm at because, and I haven't read a thing. Mm-hmm. But being humble enough to pick that up helps you no matter where you're at, whether it's relationships. And for me, that's why my favorite book is Start With Why by Simon Sinek, because he talks about how when you sell your why instead of a product, everything's going to go a lot better. People don't buy what you're selling. They buy why you're selling it. And as I got to thinking about that, that's true business-wise, but that's also true relationship-wise. And when you can find the why in someone else and see why they do things, what makes them do what they do, you can put the right things into their life. So as a leader, and whether it's a sports team or a business, you can put what they need to help out their why, to get them for what they want. Maybe their why is they want to help people in Africa. And so how can you put the right things in front of them where they can do that? Or maybe their why is they just want to help their wife out financially. They just want to be able to bring home food for their wife. So how can they do that? Maybe you can take them a meal or something like that. And so I feel like that book has a lot of things outside of that can correlate to business or relationships. And that's why for me, that's been the book that I've gifted the most, because I feel like it's important for people to also understand their why.
Yeah.
And then when you know your why, you can sell that to other people mm-hmm. as well. Just as when I'm a leader, I want to figure out everyone else's why. But when I'm not a leader or I want to make friends with someone else, I want to tell them my why. And I want to sell myself on my why and why I do what I do.
Yeah. I think, too, you can take that almost back to kind of the social media aspect where for the most part, majority of people, if I was like, yeah, this guy Brady Schlabel, he makes $3.3 million a year, they're probably like, oh, this guy's probably pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Well, no, like, what is it? Well, you find out what he's about first, and then you can decide, well, if he's cool or not. And you look at social media and you see the vacation pictures or the cool clothes or the cool cars, and you think, oh, that they got that figured out. They're probably pretty cool. No, figure out what they're about first and then make that decision. Figure out what they're wise and then make the decision.
Absolutely. And going forward too with that, with social media, with all the things that go with that, I feel like social media and big tech, whatever it is going to play a huge part in the future of our lives and the people around us lives. So what do you feel like the future can hold for people? Because for me, I feel like down the road, you're going to see more people following their passions, their passion projects. You're going to see more people that didn't know they could be an entrepreneur become entrepreneurs online and through social media, whether that's because they found a new route to go or they found someone that inspired them and showed them that they can do what they want to do. And two, I feel like as social media grows, though, so does depression and suicide. And so those are also big things that we have to be recognizing in people, no matter where they're at in life. Everyone deals with something. Everyone has something behind the scenes. So it can be all daisy and roses, but there's also a bad side to that too.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you feel like you see in your future or like the people around you's future? What do you feel like is down the road?
I think social media has got to be a tool in your toolbox. A vehicle if you need it. I think for me, ideally, if I could, I probably want to be completely off social media one day. Unless I go into an avenue or a career or a business where I need it to grow the brand, mm-hmm. I would probably like to be off of it. And I think that's a great point is younger people. It's almost like in health classes, it probably needs to be addressed. And it starts with at a young age, if you're comparing yourself to other people from day one, that's just going to, it's a snowball effect and it's not healthy.
And I think too, for me in the future and for my future, I have realized what I need to be inspired. And maybe that's not social media, and I don't think it really is, but I've realized what I need to be inspired. And for me, that's new experiences, that's new people. And along with that, like we talked about, comes new ideas, free-flowing ideas, different ways of looking at things. For you going to Alabama and seeing the way people were raised there and the different thoughts and ideas they have and why they had them. For me, that's one of the things I love doing. The different avenues, too, of making money. What are different ways, different ideas I can go about that? Or different avenues of leading people. What are the different ways that people are trying to reach and get their vision into their teams and their experiences and their groups? And so for me, that's what I enjoy being inspired by. And that's really what I found to fire me up the most.
Yeah.
And whether it's moving somewhere else or going somewhere for a weekend, when you come back and when you get to where you're by yourself, that's when all those ideas start flowing. Mm-hmm. You start writing them down. You come up with all the new ways you can make money. You can reach out to people. You can help people. What do you feel like is in your future and has been put there for you?
I don't know. And that's what excites me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm someone where I proved it to myself where if you look at Alabama, I can kind of pick up and just go with it. And that's something that I think is going to be a pillar for me. That I think I can be versatile and shift to whatever maybe presents itself at the time. And one thing I think about too, kind of going back to what we were talking about, is you hear all the time, you're probably like the five people you hang out with the most. You're probably also a lot like the five things you spend the most time on. You're probably also like the five things you talk about the most. So if you're spending the majority of your time on five things, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, TikTok, what are we doing? What's going on in your bucket?
Yeah.
If the five things you're talking about is Thirsty Thursday, your margaritas, wings with the boys, fantasy football, you can have a couple of those things in your bucket, but think about the five things you talk about the most, the five things you spend the most time on, and then you take that audit, if you like it, you're probably doing something right. But it's not hard to figure out either.
Yeah.
It's not hard to figure out.
But it is hard to have that conversation with yourself, yep, and be 100% real about what the five things are I spend the most time on. And in the end, is that helping me get to where I ultimately want to go? Because that's the biggest question I feel like is, you can spend your time on five things that make you happy in the moment or you really enjoy doing, but is that getting you to where you want to go? And are you fulfilling your passions in life? And one of the things I like to ask all my guests that come on is, for you, what do you feel like success is? When you look back at the end of your life, what are you going to be able to say, yeah, I was successful in this life? And what do you need to accomplish to be able to get to that point?
I think for me, and the more and more I get older, and I think the more and more most people get older, is you start to realize how much has been invested into your life. You look at your parents, you look at your other extended family, you look at teachers and siblings, and you're like, man, this person spent a lot of their time, which is the most valuable asset. You don't get that back. This person spent a lot of this much time on me. What am I doing? If I'm doing Thirsty Thursday Margaritaville every night with my friends, like, the mom and dad invested a lot of time for me. They didn't invest a lot of time for me to go to Margaritaville.
Yeah.
They invested a lot of time for me to be developing myself, working my tail off, and achieving what I want to achieve. So for success for me is being able to look back on, okay, I had this much potential. I had this many people invest their time, resources, whatever, into me. What did I do with it? If I look back and think, okay, yeah, I did something with that, I'm good. If I look back and think, yeah, I didn't really reach full potential, I made a lot of money, like, there's a problem. So if I look back, yeah, and say, no, my potential, whatever it might be, it's different. My potential is different than yours. If I look back and think, I checked that box, whatever my potential is, I'm good.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. That's great. And I think for me, you know, I mean, the whole point of this podcast and this journey I'm on is trying to figure that out for myself. And for me right now, where I'm at, I feel like it's two words. When I look back, I want to say I impacted people and I inspired people. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to fill my bucket. Because at the end of the day, I want to be able to set an example and say, it's okay to love something and get hurt. It's okay to travel out west for a year in a van, make some money, do some stuff online. It's okay to take that risk. It's okay to start a business and fail. Because when I leave this earth, I want people to say, yeah, Brady impacted me.
Yeah.
Or yeah, Brady inspired me and he treated me right. And that's what they remember about me. Not that I made a lot of money, not that whatever it is, not that I had a lot of nice cars. It's the inspiration I gave them and the impact I had on them.
Yeah. And it looks different for everybody. So me and Brady, we went to San Diego, Los Angeles, early August this year. Mm-hmm. And me and Brady are driving down Highway 1.
Yeah.
Highway 1. Yeah. And along the highway, over the coast, is lines and lines of cars, RVs, whatever. And me and Brady look at each other and we think, you know, you look at this on the surface and you assume, probably incorrectly, these people are homeless, like they must be unemployed, maybe on drugs, like whatever they've been through in their life. But then you start to think, you know what, this person, I mean, they're sitting on this beautiful highway, they wake up to the sunrise and sunset every day, they might have this figured out. They figured something out along the ocean.
This is a highway, yeah, that drives right along the Pacific, yeah, Ocean. And so for them, when they wake up every day, they get to open the blinds of their RV and they see the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. Maybe they have a couple $100,000 in their savings account and they said, I'm good with this. I mean, you look at that and you think, this person might be happier than someone in a midtown Manhattan skyrise. It's, mm-hmm, different for everybody. Some people, it is checking the monetary box. Cool. For some people, it is checking the travel box. Cool. It's different for everybody. Figure out what it is for you.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, brother, I appreciate you. Yes, this was fun. I hope we get to do it again soon. You're always someone I wanted to have on, and I'm glad we finally got to do this, so I appreciate it. And looking forward to seeing what's next in your future and doing that along with you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate having me on. I'm a big fan, so I'm a little fanning out right now. This is a big deal for me to be on.
Yo, how great is Nick? An unbelievable mind with only great things in his future. He is someone that, like most of us, has not had the huge, successful moment money-wise yet,
but what truly fills his bucket doesn't have anything to do with money. I hope you got a further insight on my thoughts as well, and I look forward to hearing your ideas and your thoughts on challenging me on some of those ideals. If you haven't yet, go subscribe and like the podcast. Leave me a review. I really appreciate them all, and I really appreciate you all coming along on this journey with me of uncovering success.